Good morning, everybody. Let me take 30 seconds just to make sure I'm touching the right buttons and know what I'm doing. Thank you. I'm setting my timer. Phyllis has been very good about telling me that I have to finish on time. So once I've got this set, we'll be fine. I'm not going to set the alarm, however. You all may not appreciate that part. Great. Well, thanks. Again, my name is Rob Hogarth. I'm a senior policy director with the policy development support team at ICANN. And what we're going to be doing today is really giving you a high level. Phil has noticed that I'll be talking a little bit about some of the sessions for this week, but I'm mainly going to focus on the overall sort of perspective of policy development in ICANN, give you an overview of what a number of the different supporting organizations and advisory committees do, mainly because you're going to be subjected to a lot of information this week, and I just want to, as Bertrand and Phyllis have already done, sort of set the context for you, give you the overall sense and structure of things. On any one of these slides, for those of you who don't know me, I could probably talk for an hour, so what I'm going to try to do is just focus on the highlights, but you're likely to have questions, observations about how things work or questions about how things may operate. And I will be around all week and I'll be here most of the day coming in and out of the room. So I'm very happy to meet you, answer your questions, give you more details over time. So with that brief introduction, let's just touch a bit on the goals. I mean, the idea is to review the policy structures, to talk a little bit about the community aspects, the different communities, and as Phil has noted, just to give you a heads up on some of the larger issues that are going to be discussed this week. We're going to focus on the groups in the red box on the slide. This is the second version of what you saw earlier. I like this slide because what it does is it tends to immediately get people to react and go, oh my goodness. And I think that's an important reaction to have on one level. And that is that this truly is a multi-stakeholder model with many different participants, many different perspectives. But when we're talking about policy development, there are, you know, really three primary engines called the supporting organizations, and then a number of other groups that contribute to providing advice, providing input, providing technical expertise and perspectives that also play a role in the process. We like to break them down and explain them as supporting organizations who make the policy recommendations to the board, and the advisory committees that provide the board with the advice and the information that can help the board make the appropriate final decisions. Now, when we talk about policy in general, it's really this series of concentric circles when you look at the ICANN community. Some folks have taken issue with the numbers that I throw up here, but they're generally, I think, fairly representative. If you look at the larger part of the circle, it's all internet users, right? That ultimately, what we're doing has an impact on all of them, but they aren't really active participants, although there is the possibility for them to do that in the public comment process. You start to drill down a little bit, and you see, well, within the overall industry, which is the domain name system, the people who monitor it or regulate it or otherwise pay attention to what's going on, you probably have an impacted community of about 5,000 people overall. They don't all come to ICANN meetings, obviously, but there's that impact either on their jobs or the policies that they have to deal with. And you sort of drill it down a little bit more and you say, well, how many people are really the working community? You're talking about 1,500 to 2,000 people. Those of you who come to ICANN meetings and will be coming in the future, those who follow things very closely, who tweet about ICANN, who blog about ICANN, who otherwise write articles about ICANN. And then you talk about a real core of volunteers. People, a group that we hope will grow and that you will be a part of, but it's really the folks who actually participate on the councils, who work on the staff, who participate on the board or otherwise, really play that fundamental role. And when you look at it, the number is really only about 300 to 500. And so the real opportunity that you have being here in person this week, because I recognize that all of you aren't newcomers to ICANN, but you're newcomers to the ICANN meeting, is it's really an opportunity to interact with probably that 300 to 1600, where there's a real opportunity to make a difference, to have some influence, and to really contribute your perspective and expertise to the policy development process. Now, the workload can vary over time, but what we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years is a fairly significant, substantial amount of policy development activity. The graph that you see here is essentially the measure or metric I use with the public comment periods that ICANN opens up on various policy or other types of issues. And you can see, you know, all this was in the time frame of what Philly's described as the generic top-level domains, the new GTLDs. And so there's been a lot of activity, and you see things peaked pretty much around 84 in 2010, but we're throwing out as a community, not just as ICANN staff, but as a community, somewhere on the order of 5 or 6 public comment forums every month. Now, they tend to cluster around an ICANN meeting when the community is really sort of coming to a conclusion on some of its work. But there's a tremendous amount of activity that goes into each one of those comment forums, the work of a working group, a staff group, a community endeavor. So there's a lot of work that goes into each one of those. And what we also recognize is that to respond to that and to become involved in that also takes a tremendous amount of work. So now translate these 76, 67, 84 to the 300 to 1600 people, and you see that there are some tremendous opportunities and challenges in terms of managing all of that work. Now, from an ICANN perspective, there's approximately 20 of us who are responsible for helping to make sure that those processes work. A number of people have described ICANN as the arena for competing ideas and perspectives for various different objectives. And our job is to make sure that the processes facilitate the conversations and the debates that take place, that the various processes are followed, all with a goal toward making it as transparent as possible and giving as many opportunities for participation and engagement as possible. Now, we're spread out, as the slide shows, over 7 countries, 8 time zones. We speak combined 12, 13 UN languages, languages for UN languages. And we also, depending upon the issue or the subject matter, we'll bring in technical experts to assist the community or the staff in terms of developing or making recommendations about particular parts of policy. Our general goals are very simple. They're to help, support, and manage. To give you the tools to be able to participate and really to be able to focus on the substantive issues rather than having to worry about, is the telephone connection working? Do I have somebody that can draft up the document? The major intent is a collaborative process between staff and you, the community, to make sure that you have the tools and the capabilities to really focus on the issues that are important to you. Now, what I'm going to do now is touch on a number of the individual communities just to give you a general overview of what they do. Recall the red box, and I'm going to go through those 4 areas. What I'd like real quick is a show of hands. Anybody here identify themselves with the CCNSO community? Could you raise your hands? Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Then you all know that, you know, there's the opportunity with 250 CCTLD managers out there for a pretty big group to gather and talk about things. Right now, ICANN has about 133 of those 250 CCTLDs. The operations of the CCNSO are governed by a council with a chair and vice chairs. There's staff support for that function as well. And what the CCNSO membership looks like in a broader sense geographically, you can see in this slide, in terms of the geographic spread from the participants in that community. Well, what does this SO do? Primarily for the CCNSO, you see at the top of the list is the exchange of information, the opportunity to share experiences, to learn about how other people might go through and manage their processes. And there's a very active effort during the week here at the ICANN public meeting for that interchange to take place. There's clearly the networking opportunities where during an ICANN meeting there are social events, dinners, receptions, and things like that. And then, of course, a real important goal of the CCNSO is to represent the interests of that community before the board and the other interests in ICANN. So while the CCNSO does produce various statements, makes contributions to some of the broader concepts and ways that ICANN does business through the strategic operating plan and things like that, it also is very actively involved in meeting with members of the board, other supporting organizations, and advisory committees. One of the themes that you may see over the next couple of minutes as I talk about this is that more and more these individual sort of components of ICANN, the SOs and ACs, find themselves communicating much more broadly with each other, because a number of the issues, for example, with the CCNSO community, the IDNs, have implications much more broadly than just that community. And so what we see many times and much more often is collaboration between these various components of the ICANN system. Now, near and dear to my heart, of course, is the policy component of the CCNSO. And with respect to policy development, the CCNSO has a very specific sort of structure. You'll see that for both the CCNSO and the GNSO, in the bylaws of ICANN, there are very specific processes that need to be followed for a supporting organization to ultimately make a recommendation to the board. And in the case of the CCNSO, that's Annex C of the bylaws. Right now, they're currently working on establishing, and probably one of the most important things they're focusing on establishing with respect to the IDNs is the overall policy for how IDNs will be made available, allocated, distributed over the long term. There's been a fast-track policy that's helped get a number of new IDN CCTLDs out into the route. I think the number is somewhere around 33 or 34 now. But that was just the fast track. So now the community is really looking at the much broader perspective of how that's done. There's also, and there's a lot of confusion, I think, within the ICANN community from time to time, and we could have the two-hour debate on this at some point, but between what is specific policy and what is policy-related work. I think you see a real great dynamic both in the CCNSO and the GNSO that I'll talk about in a couple moments, to look more broadly at not just what's in the bylaws and what those processes are, but often the board will reach out and ask for broader questions about how the industry is working or how various systems or processes are expected to work. And that provides a broader context for the work of the CCNSO and some of the other ICANN communities. For those of you who've raised your hands, you're probably familiar with participating in the CCNSO, but it's also helpful for others to be able to look in and get a perspective from time to time. CCNSO members are admitted through an application process. It's limited, as this slide indicates, to CCNSO managers. But one of the keys and helpful aspects, I think, about the CCNSO and other aspects of ICANN is there aren't any membership fees. It's a very open process for being able to become involved. Now let's talk a quick bit about GNSO policy. GNSO is a little bit different, and it really helps to describe things by noting the contrasts. From the CCNSO perspective, it's a fairly homogeneous community. I don't know how that translates, and I apologize to the translators for speaking so fast. I know I should slow down a bit. From the CCNSO perspective, it's a lot of commonality. But when you start to look at the GNSO, you see perhaps the most diverse community within ICANN, generic top-level domains. And the way the GNSO is structured is not quite as simple as just having a council of like-minded players with, like the CCNSO. But the challenge of the GNSO is to combine these various voices. There are four stakeholder groups that fit into two communities within ICANN. There's the contracted parties. Those are the registries and registrars who have contracts with ICANN, agreements with ICANN for their operations. And then you have the non-contracted community. that group that doesn't have contracts but is heavily invested and interested in what goes on. Within, as I said, the contracted community, you have a stakeholder group of registries. You have a stakeholder group of registrars. Now, in the non-contracted community, that community is divided into two stakeholder groups, commercial interests and non-commercial interests. And the dynamism of the GNSO is that then within those stakeholder group structures, there are individual groups that have specific interests in particular issues or because of how they are structured as a community. So on the non-commercial side, you have the non-commercial users constituency, and you have the not-for-profit operational concerns constituency. The NCUC, much more individual players. The NPOC, more organizational players. It's not a very fine line, but in terms of our broader way of looking at it, just think about that for the moment. I think we have members of both those communities here. And if you could, those of you who are involved in the GNSO, can you raise your hands or think that you would be associated with the GNSO? Thank you. And then, as I noted, the other side of the house on the non-contracted side of the GNSO is the commercial stakeholder group players. Currently, that community is broken up into three different areas. You have the business constituency, that's sort of the businesses who run websites or have interests in the DNS from that perspective. You have the ISP community, you know, the traffic managers and those who deliver communications and provide connectivity to people who are going to use the internet. And then the intellectual property constituency, those people who, and primarily lawyers who have a specific interest in intellectual property issues, trademark issues, and the rest. How am I doing on time? Oh, great. I've got plenty of time. The structure of the GNSO, I sort of described generally, but as you see on the screen, you have essentially two houses, and that's how they're organized. But the important part of this slide is the GNSO Council, and recognizing that these four stakeholder groups all send representatives to the GNSO Policy Council. And within the GNSO, it's the Policy Council that's the primary engine that delivers the policy product that comes out of what work the GNSO does. Now, the GNSO Council, you see that broad array of folks. If you're interested in attending, these 21 people from a variety of different areas and from the groups that I just described will be meeting on Wednesday afternoon, I believe it is, this week. It may even be in this room or in the room right next door. They have a very active and full agenda, and they generally meet when they're here at ICANN meetings for 3 or 4 hours, a public meeting that everybody can see. Their monthly meetings are available by teleconference, so there's a fair amount of visibility into the work that they do. Their mailing lists are published, and that's true generally of just about all the groups, not just within the GNSO, but within some of the other communities as well. The GNSO has a little bit different policy process, and I'm not going to go through all the aspects of this ribbon. You recall the CCNSO sort of had a smartphone box, and that was their process that then just breaks out into individual components. The GNSO policy development process has a longer string of activities because, again, built into the bylaws are many opportunities for public comment. If you think back to the graphic slide that I showed earlier, each one of those public comment forums has a plug-in somewhere into this process. One of the important concepts that I'll just touch on so that you're aware of it within the GNSO is this concept of consensus policies. I noted earlier that the GNSO is divided into contract parties and non-contract parties. Well, essentially what the policy process does is looks at how those contracts are working, and essentially there's a component called consensus policies that allows the community to make changes to the contracts that the contracted parties have with respect to generic top-level domains with ICANN. This is a pretty incredible concept when you think about it. Essentially, you have parties who've contracted with ICANN who've agreed to a process that allows those contracts to be modified by the community. Now, one of the aspects of that is that these contracted parties are comfortable with that because they are also a part of the process. But it makes for some interesting dynamics. And again, this is a concept we could talk about for a considerable period of time, but I think that's the appropriate level for you. Again, similar to the CCNSO, there are many opportunities to participate in the GNSO. Tomorrow, if you chose to, you could participate in a public comment forum. There's no barrier to entry. And this is true of any ICANN public comment forum. And we have the manager of that process and the leader of that process right here. But essentially, all of those are open to anyone who has an interest or wants to comment. There are, I would say, more than 100 mailing lists within the GNSO. It's a tremendous amount of information, but essentially all of the activities of all the working groups, all the drafting teams, and everyone else, and that's 20-minute mark, all the aspects of the work that they do are published on email archives that you can go back and look at and follow and see the string of every comment that anyone ever made about any subject. So it's a very... It's very exciting, and for some people who are new to the process, very intimidating when you realize that in participating, essentially everything that you contribute to the process is there for someone to look at. Now, we're constantly challenged by how we present that information, how useful that information is, and I think there were some comments earlier today about how there'll be some exciting announcements about how we're improving that process tomorrow. The other important aspect that I want to touch on this slide is the opportunity to participate in working groups. ICANN is very open. I mean, the challenge I think that all of you have and that many people have is that there's so much information, it's hard to figure out where to plug in. But when you do want to plug in, there are these working groups that, again, there's really no barrier to entry. If you're interested in a topic, if you're interested in a subject, and you see an announcement is made, you can join that working group. People have different strategies for why they join working groups. If you're relatively new, you join a working group because you're on the list. You can see what's going on. You can learn a little bit about the culture. If you're an expert on an issue, then you may want to contribute for a specific point, for a specific purpose. And you participate in the working group. You advise people about what your interest is, what your background is, and where you're from. There's no conflict of interest, but it's a statement of interest so that others understand your perspective and where you're coming from. So that's a great opportunity for, even if you're not a member of the GNSO, but your boss or your community or your organization is interested in what's going on, you can read the mailing list, you can participate in the group. Let's talk very briefly about the ASO, because the relationship between the ASO and the ICANN board is unique in terms of the GNSO and the CCNSO. It's a different relationship. Does anyone here identify themselves as being part of the ASO community? Okay, thanks. So no one's going to be throwing rocks at me if I get something wrong. Essentially, the ASO is made up of the regional internet registries, and there are five of them. From a policy development perspective, the important thing to know is that these five groups will get together only when they are looking to develop a global policy. In general, they set the policies in their own regions. They are the ones who essentially dictate how the resource is used in their specific regions. But when it comes time for them to collaborate and talk about a global policy, that's when they get together, and that's when ICANN becomes involved. They have to have unanimity, and they essentially work through the process on their own, so that once they've made the decision, when they come to the ICANN board with their recommendation, it's a unanimous recommendation, and for the most part, the ICANN board ratifies that. There's not a lot of debate or discussion at all. That's all handled within the ASO, and they do a very good job of managing that, and have very clear lines of demarcation where what they can do locally versus what happens globally. It's much, much more challenging and interesting to see policy develop in the CCNSO and GNSO as compared to the ASO. Already talked about that. Let me talk a little bit about at-large policy. I've talked to you about the SOs, the supporting organizations, who essentially make recommendations to the board about a policy. The advisory committees of ICANN are very different from the perspective that they don't recommend policy, but they comment on policy. They advise the board. Is there anyone here in the audience who can identify themselves as part of the at-large community? Great, thank you. My math is all messed up because by the time we're done, I still think there's about 50 folks who I haven't asked to identify themselves at all. We'll figure that out throughout the course of the day. But let me just largely define for you who aren't members of the at-large community what that means. Essentially, it's the much broader community that represents in my circle graph there everybody on the outside. And so at-large plays a real critical role in advising the various supporting organizations about the impact of policies or what's happening because there isn't a policy that exists. And the general work of the at-large community is managed by an advisory committee called the ALAC. It's very important to understand that there is a difference between the at-large community and the ALAC. The ALAC is the structure that represents that broader community. And then, of course, within the at-large advisory committee, you have an executive committee that functions to make sure that strategy is decided, that they pick the right issues or the important issues that they want to advise the board and the rest of the community on. For them, they're really focused, as you can see in the central area of this slide, on four key policy issues. And when you look at them, you see that they really have broader impact. Things like has substantial issues with respect to the GNSO at the present time, but it's also an issue that impacts the CCNSO community and the way they manage things. IDNs are very important. Right now, specific aspects of IDNs like variants, like how WHOIS data is presented in different languages, is an important issue for the at-large community as well. And much more broadly, the at-large community is very interested in making sure that ICANN is running effectively and efficiently, that it's providing the appropriate accountability and transparency that it's important for the internet end users to have as well. Very quickly, in terms of policy highlights, I've broken it out, and this slide is in the session page, so I'm not going to read through each one of these. But you see, the generic name supporting organization this week has a variety of issues. Just about every one of these issues has a session associated with it. If you haven't seen it already, you'll probably see later today the general overall schedule that's on the ICANN meetings website, and it's very nicely color-coded. So if you're interested in GNSO topics versus CCNSO or ASO topics versus ESAC or ALAC topics, they're all color-coded on the schedule, so you can quickly identify the specific sessions that you may want to attend. The one pitch that I'd like to make with you all before closing is that there is a lot to absorb. And there's a lot to absorb in just the community that you're working with, but by the same token, you may be interested in other communities as well. What we as a policy team try to do on a monthly basis is produce a monthly policy update. And it runs anywhere from 15 to 30 some odd pages. Essentially, what we do is create a series of links so you can just go to the area that you like and click on it and immediately get some information about some active policy issues in each one of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. So I invite you all to go to the website. I'm not asking you necessarily to copy this directly, but on the policy team website, we have links to the subscription page for the policy update. It's available in all six UN languages each month, and the subscription is free. We right now have just about 4,000 people who subscribe. That helped inform some of my other numbers earlier in the presentation. But it's something particularly that's a value to you, whether you're a new person or someone who's been involved in ICANN for a while. So if you're here representing an organization where others are more experienced with ICANN, it's something that will help you get up to speed. And if they ask you what's going on at ICANN, I hope it will give you a little bit of opportunity to be able to share some information with them. So policy update or contacting us at policy-staff@ICANN.org are the best ways to reach us when we are not at ICANN meetings. But otherwise, please seek me out. And I'll be happy if I can't answer any of your questions during the week. I can introduce you or get you in touch with other members of the policy team. And I hope you all have a very productive week. Thanks a lot.
Are there any questions for Rob? Please. Can you come to the mic so everybody can hear you?
Yeah, well, I'll repeat your question. He asked if the slides are available. Yes, they are. On the ICANN schedule, there's a session page for these remarks, and I think this is true for everything in the track today. You can just go to that page. You've got a link to the presentation.
Any other questions? Okay. Actually, this whole session as we are speaking here is also broadcasted over the internet. So if you have colleagues back home or wherever they are who would like to follow it, they can follow it as you are following it here. They can also ask questions. We call it the remote participation services. We will make a presentation in the afternoon. But this is all available for those people who are not in the room as well. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
We appreciate And there is a slight change in the schedule, and I apologize for that. There has been a slight conflict with the next speaker. On the schedule, it says we have the ombudsman. However, he is not in the room present to have his 15 minutes to introduce himself to you. So I will quickly make a swap around, and we will have Janice to talk about the week ahead. Normally, on the schedule, she would be after Chris, but we are just advancing her 15 minutes earlier. And this is also an announcement for the remote participants out there, so they know they're aware of the change. Thank you, Janice.
You're welcome.
I'll start you here. I changed it in the Adobe Connect already.